Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. Over the past few years, it seems that the island of Imbros, a Turkish island in the Aegean Sea with a historic Greek population, is experiencing what's been described by some as a small Greek renaissance, as some descendants of the Greeks who were displaced in the 1960s have begun trickling back. Pyotr Zalewski, The Economist's Turkey correspondent, joins me to look at this Greek comeback on Imbros, a small bright spot in an otherwise bleak picture for the remaining Greek community of Turkey. Pyotr, it's great to have you on The Greek Current. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back on.
Pyotr, you recently put the Greek community of the island of Imbros in the Aegean, the birthplace of Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, under the microscope. You know, this is an island with a quite difficult past, especially over the last 60 years or in the 20th century. What have the Greeks of the island had to face?
So Imbros, known as Gökçeada in Turkish, is one of the two Aegean islands that belong to Turkey, one of the two formerly Greek-majority islands that was granted to Turkey under the Treaty of Lausanne almost exactly a century ago. And it's an island that hasn't been spared from the effects of tensions between Turkey and Greece, and has not been spared from the kind of discrimination that Greek nationals or Greek citizens of Turkey have had to face in Turkey over the past century. The worst of it for Imbros came in the 1960s. This was also when mass expulsions of Greeks from Istanbul took place, with the fighting and the tensions in Cyprus being a backdrop and a cause. Greeks in Turkey, Greek nationals in Turkey, or ethnic Greeks in Turkey rather, have been over the years, decades now, you know, hostages to tensions between Turkey and Greece, and have been used by the Turkish government as pawns in this dispute. And I think a lot of people are familiar with what happened in Istanbul in the 1960s, simply because of the sheer scale of the expulsions. You know, tens of thousands of Greeks were forced to leave around 1964. Now, this also took place on Imbros, and, you know, under a so-called eritme, which is a terrible word that means melting, dissolution policy, the Turkish authorities decided to forcibly displace members of the Greek minority on Imbros. Now, the tragedy there was that, you know, until the 1960s, Imbros was almost exclusively Greek. There were about 6,000 Greeks living on the island, and that was about it. I mean, there were, you know, maybe a handful of Turkish officials and the like, but the island was overwhelmingly Greek. And, you know, initially I'd set out to accompany Bartholomew, the Ecumenical Patriarch, on his trip to the island, but it was a way through him and through contacts with his former friends and other people on the island that I understood what the islanders had to face. You know, those 6,000 Greeks who had inhabited the island in the 1960s pretty much, you know, were forced to pick up and leave. Now, some of them were, you know, labeled as enemies of the state, but also other measures were undertaken by the Turkish government so as to force people to leave. One of these was the opening of an open prison on the island, whose inmates were effectively allowed, if not encouraged, to roam free. And you can imagine the impact that had. Well, the impact it had was that women across the island were sexually assaulted, raped, some men were killed, and many of the 6,000 Greeks who left were effectively terrorized into leaving the island mostly under the cover of night. Bartholomew himself wasn't there when this took place. He left in the early 1960s to study abroad, but by the time he came back in the late 1960s, early 70s, you know, he could no longer recognize parts of the island. You know, the Greek community was almost entirely gone and replaced by thousands of Turkish settlers.
While the population of the Greek community is only a fraction of what it was today, you've reported that there appears to be a small Greek renaissance taking place on the island over the last few years. You know, how is Imbros' Greek culture coming back to life?
Well, you know, in a broader context, conditions for the Greek minority in Turkey have improved somewhat in the past three decades. One of the signs of this on Imbros was that the Erdogan government, which has a mixed record, I think, when it comes to its relations with the Greek minority, allowed for the opening of 3 Greek schools on the island about a decade ago. I think the first of these opened in 2013. First, an elementary school, primary school, and then later on, a high school. And that seems to have encouraged some Greeks, descendants of those Greeks who were displaced in the 1960s, to return, or at least to, you know, give the island or life on the island a try. And, you know, the population hasn't exactly boomed, but I guess a decade ago, the Greek population was about 180, 200, mostly, you know, senior citizens. And since then, we've seen the ballpark numbers, but perhaps a tripling of the population. Some sources say 500, some people say, you know, 800 Greek nationals or dual nationals living on Imbros. One of the school teachers I spoke to called this a small renaissance. But it is just that, you know, you all of a sudden have Greek spoken in the streets of Imbros. You have children, more importantly, speaking Greek. You have a certain level of continuity in terms of education. And you have families from Greece, mostly descended from the Greeks of Imbros, living across the island. Some of these Greek villages, hilltop villages, seem to have come back to life. And especially in the summer, when the island is inundated with tourists, which is also something of a novelty. Tourism in Gochada wasn't really a thing until about, you know, a decade ago. But when the island is inundated with tourists in summertime, you know, you see Greek restaurants on some of these hilltop villages swarming with tourists and diners, most of them Turkish. You see and hear Greek music. So, you know, the community perhaps might not be thriving, but the situation is certainly much better than what it was about a decade ago.
While Imbros is showing signs of a small comeback, what's the picture in other parts of Turkey, for example, in Istanbul, where you're based and where there's also a historic community?
Right. I mean, you know, elsewhere, the picture is much bleaker. And let's bear in mind that there are only 3 places that are home to the Greek minority in Turkey. That's Bozcaada, Tenedos in Greek. And, you know, I think there you have only a few dozen Greeks. Then you have Imbros or Gochada. Again, let's say 500, 600, maybe even 800. And then Istanbul. Altogether, that population comes to about 2,000. And that speaks to a fundamental crisis, mostly demographic crisis. You know, Greeks in Turkey, ever since the 1920s, you know, starting with the population exchange with Greece, then, you know, obviously the 1942 wealth taxes, then the pogroms, and more forced displacements, all of this with, you know, tensions with Greece and Cyprus in the background. Population has been decimated, more than decimated. You know, that 2,000 is basically less than a percentage point of the population in Turkey in the 1920s, even following the population exchange. I think 1925, you know, if you look at the figures from Istanbul alone, you have a Greek population of about 170,000. And that was in a much, much smaller Istanbul than the 16 million large behemoth we're dealing with today. And, you know, from that 180,000 to 2,000 is a pretty dramatic drop. And it's not getting any better. I mean, in fact, you know, it's getting worse, at least as far as the demographics are concerned. So, you know, the situation in terms of relations between the government and the Greek minority may have improved somewhat, but that demographic decline seems to have become largely irreversible, perhaps with the minor exception of Imbros. And, you know, there's increasing concern that Greeks who have inhabited this part of the world for 2,700, you know, 2,800 years continuously now may soon disappear from Istanbul. And that would be a tragedy on, you know, many, many levels.
You've spoken to prominent members of the communities on Imbros, obviously, and in Istanbul for your piece. What do they hope to see from Ankara in order to, you know, make their future in their ancestral homes more certain?
Well, you know, obviously things have worked out to some degree on Imbros in that, you know, the opening or reopening of these schools have encouraged some Greeks to return. The problem is that you can't really repeat that kind of an experiment in Istanbul. Istanbul is just too big. And, you know, while Greeks represent now a decent percentage of the population on Imbros, they are, let's say, 600, an island of, you know, let's say, 10,000 people. You'll have to look up the population figures. You know, as a community of less than 2,000 in a city as big as in Istanbul, you know, that community is quite atomized. And so, you know, encouraging Greeks or descendants of Istanbul Greeks to move to Istanbul is a pretty tall task because, you know, they're not really returning to a Greek community and they risk being quite isolated. On top of that, you know, the economy in Turkey is not faring well of late, to put it mildly. You know, Turkey's facing a 60% inflation, you know, rapid currency depreciation, and all the things that flow from that, including, well, major cost of living crisis. The economy in Greece seems to be doing much better these days. Housing in Istanbul can be, despite all of this, prohibitively expensive. So, you know, experts I spoke to said that you should not really expect a repeat of what happened on Imbros in Istanbul anytime soon. What they would like to see, what, you know, members of the Greek community here would like to see, is some more action on the part of the government to encourage Greeks to return, something, you know, in the way of positive discrimination, even a path to citizenship for descendants of the displaced Greeks. To give one example, that would certainly help, but also easing of procedures when it comes to obtaining work permits and residence permits. These are notoriously difficult to obtain. And, you know, Greeks living here, I think, already face some trouble in having and being able to renew their residence permits and the like. So, you know, the bureaucratic obstacles for Greeks who might consider moving here are of an even higher magnitude. Then there are obviously issues that tend to be left unspoken, and that is how the present government deals with Greek cultural heritage. I think, you know, if I simply say the name Hagia Sophia, that will tell volumes about the politics of this government and its tendency to sort of, you know, Islamicize parts of Greek cultural heritage. And I imagine that does not inspire confidence among members of the Greek community here and obviously among, you know, Greeks at large.
Pyotr, it's great speaking with you. Thanks again for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
In other news, Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis has pledged full support and resources to address the devastating aftermath of Storm Daniel in central Greece. During a meeting with mayors from the affected areas at the Karditsa town hall on Friday, Mitsotakis emphasized the government's commitment to aiding households in need and rapidly assessing the damages. "We will do whatever it takes. I will mobilize all available European resources to provide additional support, primarily to cover the needs of affected households. Damage assessments will commence immediately, including home evaluations and compensation for those whose homes have been destroyed," he said. Finally, DBRS Morningstar upgraded Greece's credit rating to investment grade on Friday, ending the country's bond junk status after 13 years. The Canadian-based rating agency, one of the world's four majors, became the first to bring Greece back to investment grade since 2010. In a statement after the North American markets closed, DBRS Morningstar announced the upgrading of Greece to BBB low with a stable outlook from BB high. The next rating session concerning Greece is expected on September 15th by Moody's, which has Greece three notches below investment grade. Standard & Poor's and Fitch Ratings will deliver their own verdicts later in the year, both having Greece within one step from investment grade. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.